Well, I figure as long as I'm just a visitor and I'm going to disappear into the ether in a couple hours, I can just wildly speculate, right? Like, that's okay? Probably not. You don't want to do that from a pulpit. But I do have a theory, and I want to run you through that theory, and we'll see where it goes. My theory is that some of the things that are most pressing in our church, some of the problems that are most problematic, are all related to each other. So I'm going to try to tie together a couple things. I'm going to try to tie together all of those times in the last 50 years where the Catholic Church, in whatever context, has gone weird. I'm going to try to tie together the fact that the majority of people today, both on the left and on the right, look to their political parties and platforms before they look to the catechism. And I'm going to try together the fact that many of our young people are leaving the church more enthralled with secularism or scientism. Now, these are heavy things, right? And we think about them all the time. I think about them all the time. I hope you do too. They burden me. Why has our faith gone in this direction? What is this all about? And my working theory, this is the wild speculation, but we'll tie it back together. My working theory is all of them are because we are collectively bored with Christianity. We've become bored with the core teachings of our faith, with the foundation of Catholicism. And when you're bored, you look for new and exciting and entertaining things. So, and maybe this is just my diocese, maybe Fort Worth has been so much better than Seattle, but why, over the last 50 years, did we have so many masses that were weird? It was like in some parishes, some masses needed a hook. There always needed to be something new and special and exciting at that mass. Some program we were celebrating, or community that we were doing, or presentation, or children's pageant every Sunday, right? There needed to be something other than the mass, because we were bored of the mass. That somehow the Eucharist and the sacrifice weren't doing it for us anymore. Or why did every theologian decide they needed to be even more avant-garde, rejecting Aquinas and Augustine and finding some new theory or some new way in which the resurrection signifies something other than Jesus rose from the dead? It was because they were bored. They were bored of their own theology. They needed something new and exciting. They wanted to push the envelope. Why do our young people, why are they so enthralled with things like technology or science or secularism? Well, it's because it's new and it's exciting. There's something powerful in it that they're attracted to. They come to Mass, they're bored, I'm not getting anything, I don't know who this Jesus guy is, all I hear about are rules, whatever. And then they go home and they get on the internet and suddenly there's a whole world opened up to them. That's exciting and it's wonderful and it's new and it's fresh. Same thing with politics. I listened to a podcast called Get Religion, where it's a journalism professor commenting on religious coverage in journalism. And he has this theory. He says, the only time a religion story is featured now in a mainstream publication is if it has a political tie-in. And that's because, collectively as Americans, we've decided the only thing that's real is politics. So if religion touches on politics, finally it's touching on something real, something new and exciting and out there and impactful. But if it's just faith, if it's just people going to Mass on Sunday, nobody cares because they're bored. They're bored of Christianity. If I were to put this in a different phrase, I would say, look for where you can find power. In a sense, and power kind of has a negative connotation today. I don't think it necessarily needs to. Power is inspirational. Power is transcendent. Power makes us feel energetic and alive. And so when I say all of these things, somehow the new and avant-garde seemed powerful. Or science and technology seem to have more power than faith. Or politics seems to have more power than faith. Somehow Christianity has lost its power, and that's why we are bored of it. But that's not Christianity. We're in the Easter season. And we celebrate most powerfully in this time, But truly, every Sunday and every Mass, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And if you are looking for power, there is no more powerful event in the history of humanity, in all of creation, than our Lord Jesus Christ walking out of that tomb. Because it represents something that has never happened before and has never happened since. The Lord Jesus Christ conquered the two great enemies of humanity, sin and death. Through the cross and the resurrection, sin does not have power over us. And death does not have power over us. And this is the only time that's ever happened. And so we can look at all of these other things that seem new and exciting, but they happen over and over and over again. They're cyclical. People find it exciting to study great battles in military history. Fine. But at the end of the day, Julius Caesar died. Abraham Lincoln died. They all died. Everybody's dead. Except Jesus Christ. He is the only one who ever led a campaign against his enemy that did not ultimately result in his death. Because he is alive because he walked out of the tomb. He has the power that we're all looking for and that we all crave. But we've forgotten it. Because somehow Christianity has become something else. Maybe it's a social club or a community connection. Maybe it's a moral code. But its foundation, Christianity, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and everything that follows from it. The power of the resurrection is found in the sacraments. So when we study the sacraments, we're studying the power of the resurrection. Our response to the resurrection, our participation in it, is found in the moral life and the spiritual life of prayer. So when we talk about morality and spirituality, we're talking about the power of the resurrection. And we can't forget that, because if we remove that, we remove the power of Christianity, we get bored and we look elsewhere. How can we rediscover some of this power? Well, I think first we have to rediscover how world-shaking, how strange and interesting and new it is that a man rose from the dead. I love the way it's presented in the Gospel. First line, the two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way and how Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. So these are the disciples from the road to Emmaus. They were walking along. Jesus walks along with them. They don't recognize him. He opens their minds to the scriptures. He breaks the bread. Suddenly they see him. They run back to Jerusalem in the middle of the night. Very dangerous. Shouldn't do it. But they run back to Jerusalem. They show up. They're talking to the other disciples. They're saying, we saw Jesus. He was risen. He's here. And then, of course, you know, Peter has already seen Jesus at this point. He says, I saw the Lord too. And they're sharing all of this. And then this is where the funny part happens. While they were still speaking about this, they were literally saying, we saw Jesus. While they were still saying, we saw the Lord, he stood in their midst and said to them, peace be with you. But they were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. They just saw the Lord. They were telling the apostles how they saw the Lord. They remember seeing the Lord. He shows up. It's a ghost. They just saw him. Because the resurrection is so new and it is so fresh and it is so surprising and startling, they can't even recognize him a couple hours later. They can't process the fact that a man walked out of the tomb, that Jesus is alive and he is glorified. They can't process it. That should be the same for us. When I say that Jesus is risen from the dead, we should all collectively go, I don't know, man, that seems pretty weird. Because it is. It's so weird. It's so strange. But it's what makes us unique. A lot of people today fall into syncretism, another major problem the church is dealing with, which is the idea that all of the faiths are the same. You'll hear the mountain analogy. Oh, we're all just going up the same mountain from different sides. No. Christianity is the only religion that has a man who truly lived, who truly died, who truly rose from the dead. That's it. It's just us. It's new and it's strange. And if we think we're like everybody else, we have forgotten how strange it is that Jesus conquered death. Not a mythological figure, not some story we made up. A man lived in Palestine 2,000 years ago and walked out of his tomb. Another way we might rediscover the power of Christianity is to pay attention to the Holy Spirit. So the context of our first reading is It's like the third speech that St. Peter makes after the resurrection. So Jesus is raised, we hear from Peter. Pentecost, we hear from Peter. And now, they're still in Jerusalem. Peter and John are walking into the temple, and they see a man lame from birth. Right? The guy's never been able to walk since he was born. And this guy's always sitting outside the temple, and they always go to the temple. So they've seen him so many times. But the way the Acts of the Apostles puts it, this time, Peter and John are walking by, and they look at him attentively. Which I think is coded language for the Holy Spirit caught their attention. They'd seen this guy so many times, but today, for whatever reason, the Holy Spirit said, pay attention to this guy. And so Peter and John, suddenly, they look at him like they've never looked at him before. They're having some sort of communication from the Lord. And they say, you know what? We're going to heal you in the name of Jesus. And they do. And they bring him into the temple. And everybody sees this guy. He's always sitting outside the temple. And everybody's like, is this the guy that was lame? And Peter's like, yeah. And everybody's like, this is crazy. This is surprising. And so Peter uses it as a moment to preach the gospel. He says it shouldn't be surprising because Jesus walked out of his tomb. You all know this. We've been preaching it. So why shouldn't Jesus be able to heal this guy from being lame? Now, the Lord has not let me heal anybody from being lame yet. So that's on him. He's got to get on that sooner rather than later. And so I can't say that I can bring the power of Christianity through the gift of healing. But I can say that I've had moments in my life where the Holy Spirit caught my attention. Where I had that moment where suddenly I was looking attentively at a person or at a moment or at an event or at an action. And when I acted on the promptings of the Holy Spirit, the power of Christianity was visible to me and to the person that I was ministering to. All of you are baptized. Most of you are confirmed. You have the Holy Spirit. If we pay attention to the Holy Spirit, the power of Christianity will be on display in a way that we can get people's attention. Because Peter didn't say, hey, look how wonderful it was that the Holy Spirit let me heal this guy. Peter said, ignore this guy. Like, yeah, it's incredible. It's miraculous. Fine, whatever. That's not important. What's important is that Jesus rose from the dead. When we do something powerful in the Holy Spirit, that power isn't important. It's important that we preach that Jesus is risen from the dead because he is the source of our power. Finally, a way we might rediscover and redisplay the power of Christianity comes from our second reading. St. John says, the way we may be sure that we know him, and knowing in a biblical sense is more than just an intellectual exercise. It's really encompassing the entire reality of a thing. Right? When the disciples knew Jesus in the breaking of the bread, it wasn't just a spark in their mind. It was we have entered into the life of the Lord. The way we make sure that we know him is to keep his commandments. We will never rediscover the power of Christianity. We will never be able to preach the gospel with power. We will never be able to overcome the boredom, the collective boredom of American society with Christianity, where they don't look to us anymore for anything. If they want to be spiritual, they go to Buddhism instead of Christianity, like we don't pray. If we ever want to overcome that, we cannot look like our neighbors. We can't just blend in. It doesn't work. Because then there's no power. Where's the power? If we act like anybody else, where's the power? But if we keep the commandments of Jesus, if we live differently, then things are going to look different and the power of the faith will be on display. Now, again, something that's torn down our faith is the idea that Christianity can be reduced to just don't be a jerk. Ugh. That's secular morality. That's nothing. That is not the Holy Spirit. That is not the Lord risen from the dead. Christianity is far more powerful than that, because if we have a Lord who walked out of his tomb and he gave us the Holy Spirit, then we can do a lot more than not be a jerk. And I'd say those of us who follow the hardest commandments, the ones that everybody waves their hands out and says, nobody follows that, don't worry about it. The ones who make the effort to follow the hardest commandments are the ones who are able to most effectively preach the gospel. So one example. And I know, because I've seen the families here last night and today, you have members in your midst who are very diligent about practicing natural family planning, which is a commandment of God according to the church. It is an evangelical witness to do so, because the entirety of society, when they look at the church and that teaching, including our most zealous and ardent Protestant brothers and sisters, They look at us and they think that we are insane, that this is crazy. If you have a pill that will just take care of everything for you, why would you ever put in this effort? Why would you ever, quote unquote, risk it? Well, there's something greater than society here. There is a grace, there is a power, there is a risen Lord and a Holy Spirit. And it is only by His power that we are able to do something insane like that. It's an evangelical witness that allows us to preach the gospel. Or as another example, this is something I had to start doing after I started hearing confessions as a priest. I had too many of my parishioners come in and say, "Father, I missed Mass on Sunday because I had to work." So I had to make a resolution. Well, I'm going to stop buying anything on Sunday. I'm going to stop doing anything on Sunday that would require somebody else to work. Now, that's not necessarily a commandment. The commandment is that you should not work on Sunday. But if you were to go to your family and friends and say, "Hey, yeah, I'd love to go to brunch with you, but it can't be today because I'm not going to make anybody work on Sunday," you're going to be seen as weird and strange and crazy and an inconvenience. But that gets people's attention, like the healing of a lame man or somebody walking out of his tomb. And suddenly they have to ask the question, why would they be weird? Why would they do that? Why would they be so far outside the norm? It's because we have the risen Lord, because we live differently, because we know something that is greater than this world. Or finally, we might talk about the evangelical councils, poverty, chastity, and obedience. I live a life of celibacy. The world looks at me as being very strange. And unfortunately, the devil has undercut the evangelical witness of the priests by associating now celibacy with abuse, although there's no connection between the two. But when I live it, or when you live it as a layperson, when you eschew commercialism, when you eschew the biggest house or the best car, when you say, "You know, I'm going to listen to what my church asked me to do," or when you say, "No, I'm dating this woman, I'm going to marry her, but I'm not going to cohabitate before marriage," those are insane things to say today in American society. If you say it, you are far outside the norm. But you should be, because Christianity is powerful, and that power makes us live different. And if we follow the commandments of the Lord, we know Him. And if we know Him, we have power. And if we have power, we are living the most interesting possible life we possibly can. Putting true Christianity up against politics or technology or anything else, there's no contest. Christianity is incredible because it is the mind of God and the life of God and the power of God. If we are bored with Christianity, it's because we don't know Christianity. If the world is bored with Christianity and has stopped looking to us for answers, it's because we haven't been living Christianity. The Lord is risen from the dead. That matters. That says something. That changes us. It changes our church. And if we live it right, it changes our world. A final point. We hear twice in our readings the word witness. In our gospel, Jesus says, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in His name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." And St. Peter in the first reading says, "The author of life He put to death, but God raised Him from the dead. Of this we are witnesses." 2 points on that. One, we have to preach the gospel. We're witnesses. This is our duty. St. Peter had that duty. Jesus told us this was our duty. We have to tell people that Jesus is risen from the dead. I'm an advocate of St. Francis of Assisi. He's my patron saint from confirmation. And I can tell you, I've read his biographies. He never said, "Preach the gospel at all times, use words when necessary." That is not a quote from a saint. That is a rationalization to not preach the gospel. We have to use our words, and we have to tell people why we live differently. Because the Lord was risen from the dead. Second, final point. The word witnesses here in Greek is martyrs. So Jesus says, if you want to do a weird kind of literal translation, He says, "You are martyrs of these things." And St. Peter will say, "Of this we are martyrs." When it was used in the Gospels, it just meant witnesses. It was a legal term for somebody who was testifying in court. But the Christians lived their faith so powerfully in the power of the risen Lord that within a generation or two, the word martyr became to mean somebody who gave up their life for the faith. We lived our faith so powerfully in the resurrection that we changed the meaning of a word. And today you cannot say martyr, you can't say witness, without indicating that you are willing to give up your life for what you are witnessing. This is how powerfully the Lord has changed us. This is what our lives are. I know the risen Lord. I have been changed by the risen Lord. I know He has conquered sin and death in me. And because of that, I will give my life, my social life, my emotional life, the respect of my peers, I will give my life to preach His gospel.